Well, on these nights that we have the Lord's Supper, we always take time to reflect on a passage of Scripture that turns our thoughts toward what we're doing tonight. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a statement here that always stands out to us every time we read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, just great chapters in the Scripture. But I want to begin in verse 18, if you will, and read just through verse 21. He says, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed," we just sang about that, didn't we, with this precious blood, "not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." The statement, of course, that always sticks out to us in this passage is that the blood of Christ is called here precious blood. It's a great statement, isn't it, to think that we have precious blood? The theme of this passage is that we're redeemed. It's a wonderful thing when you think about it. The word redeemed has a lot of expressions in the New Testament. It means basically to pay a price, and sometimes the Bible refers to it as a ransom. We owed the Father everything, and yet we're in debt to him because of our sin. But Jesus Christ paid that debt, and our ransom was paid back to the Father so that we could come and have fellowship with him. One word for redeem means that the price has been paid. Another word means that we've been taken out of the slave market. And another word means we've been taken out and set free. And that's the word that we have in this passage. We've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We've been set free. And so he starts with the negative here and says, you know, you are not redeemed, you are not saved with all of those worldly things, right? What does he say? Corruptible things. And then he uses silver and gold as an example. How many people in this world would just like to have the silver and gold? And when you think about it, is there anything more precious in the world than that? I mean, people go around the world to find gold, find silver, find rubies and diamonds and things like that. They seem precious in this world, but you can't be redeemed by them. You could have all of it in the world. You could have all the silver and gold and diamonds and rubies in the world, and it can't do a thing for your eternal soul. And it may not even make you happy in this life anyway. Probably make you sad. So there's that, and then those things from your vain conversation are just traditions from your fathers. You are not a believer because your mom and dad were believers. You know that. You're not a believer because you have a family tree that goes back to Jonathan Edwards or something like that. You can only be redeemed, you, by the blood applied to your life, not by tradition that comes from your fathers. And no doubt, as Peter was speaking as a Jewish man himself to his Jewish heritage, he knew the way they were thinking. He knew that they were saying, I'm saved because I'm Jew. I'm a Jew. I'm a child of Abraham. And so I must be born again. And constantly the Bible says, of course, that can't happen. The precious blood of Christ is not animal blood, though from Cain and Abel, Abel especially, his proper bloody sacrifice, all the way down to the very last lamb that was offered before Jesus was crucified, was animal blood. And God did use it as a picture to point forward to precious blood that was come. But that animal blood wasn't precious. That animal blood was just animal blood. It was just a substitute that God used for a while. And the precious blood of Christ doesn't mean death without blood. In other words, it does mean, and it includes the death of Christ, but you couldn't have death without the blood. It's not just that he died and that was it. It was prophesied, it was prescribed, and it was said that he would shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And so the blood had to be shed, just like an animal blood, but here the precious blood. And it's not just any blood. It couldn't have been from any religious leader. Abraham couldn't have shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. David couldn't have done it. Only Jesus Christ could do it. And so in verse 18, we have the not with two words, not redeemed with, but in verse 19, but with. Not this, but this, the precious blood of Christ. And so as I was reading this passage a week ago or whatever, and I made a note and said, I want to go back and think about this and then bring it to you folks on this night. There are four reasons, I think, given here why his blood is precious. And I think these four reasons allow us to praise him for the redemption that we have in his blood. And so in verse 19, he begins with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. The first reason it is precious is that it's sacrificial blood. As a lamb, not a lamb, of course, but Jesus Christ as a lamb. And you remember John's great statement when John the Baptist saw him coming to be baptized, he pointed him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Every time a Jewish mind would think of a lamb, he would think of sacrifice. The lamb is for substitute, for sacrifice. And John said, "He is the Lamb of God." And so as a lamb, but in a very real sense, it was a sacrifice. And the reason the blood of Christ is precious is for that reason. No other blood could be a sacrifice for you. No other blood could cleanse from sin. It had to be sacrificial blood and not just a real lamb, but the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So the first reason it's precious is that it's sacrificial blood. And so the second one also in verse 19 is that it was sinless blood. And so this lamb is without blemish and without spot. Human blood, yes. I mean, Jesus had human blood because he had a human body. But that body had no sin, did it? That body had never sinned, and therefore the blood had never sinned. Leviticus said, "The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of your flesh is in your blood. Your blood can't be shed for your sin because it comes from a sinful life and a sinful body." And it's therefore contaminated. But that blood was sinless, uncontaminated, blood that was precious before God. If you will, skip over to the end of chapter 2 of this same book, and let me read from verse 21 to the end of that chapter, chapter 2 and verse 21. "Even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us." Notice the "for us," leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, and then goes back to Christ, who did no sin. Neither was guile even found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body, that sinless body with the precious blood, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were a sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." And so all throughout this book, Peter is going to remind us this blood comes from a sinless life and a sinless body, and therefore it's precious. The third reason why the blood of Jesus is precious in verse 20 is because it was, let me say, selected blood, selected from eternity past. So about Christ, mentioned in verse 19, he says in verse 20, "who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." He was selected by the Father before the world ever began to do this work for us. In Revelation 13, in the middle of that tribulation period, John sees a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the other place in the New Testament where we have this kind of expression. He was slain from the foundation of the world, meaning in the Father's mind, he saw him and he said, that will be the sacrifice for people's sins. John Lilly, an older writer, said, as the lamb of the Jewish Passover was singled out of the flock several days before he was slain, so the Lamb of God was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Actually, it was on Nisan 1st, the first day of the month. They were to select the lamb that would be used as the sacrifice on the 14th day, and that is on the day of Passover. And so they go out to their flock, and you can imagine a man who loves these little lambs, and these are yearling lambs. These are lambs that have been born that year, and on the first, he has to find the perfect one, the best one, the one that has no blemish, the one that you would love to keep, the one that you've been growing lambs to have lambs like this, and you select that one to die, to shed his blood that month. And so Peter says, the Father did that with the Son before the world ever began. Here's the Son of God, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. He's the one that will die for their sins. And so I say that it's precious because it was selected blood. But lastly, it is precious, and I love this one, because it is cleansing blood. So verse 21 says, who by him do believe in God. You can believe because of this precious blood. You can have redemption because of the blood of Christ. It is precious to me because it is cleansing, and it has cleansed me from my sin and you from your sins. In chapter 2 and verse 7, we have that same word precious again. Unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. Those of you who believe, not to the disobedient, of course. It's not precious to them. And he wasn't precious to you until you believed. But when you came to him and put your faith and trust in him, all of a sudden he became precious to you. And the blood of Jesus Christ, though always precious from the foundation of the world, was precious to you at that moment because you believed on him. And so I'm glad that it's sacrificial, sinless, selected, and cleansing blood. It was for us, chapter 2, back to verse 21, remember, because Christ also suffered for us. It was shed in our place, verse 24 again, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live. He was made to be sin for us. Paul says in Corinthians, he was made to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin, that we who know sin might be made the righteousness of God in him. He traded places with us. He took our sin on himself, though he was sinless, and he gave us righteousness, though we're not righteous. What a great thing that is. So let me just conclude by finishing the chapter with Peter from verse 22, if you will. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is what we should do now that we have applied the precious blood to ourselves. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, even the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Aren't you glad that you know the Lord as Savior? Aren't you glad that someone preached the gospel to you when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, when you said, that's not precious to me, I don't care about that, and yet the Holy Spirit convicted your heart, and you opened your heart and gave your heart to the Lord, and it became precious at that moment. And so as we come to the Lord's table, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ are precious to us. It's everything to us. If we had to give our life today, we would gladly give it because the precious blood of Christ has given us eternal life. And we don't fear death at all because we're going to go to be where He is. It's a wonderful thing. I want you then, if you will, to bow your heads with me, and in a moment we'll prepare to take this juice that represents the precious blood of Christ. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and talk to Him a minute. Father, we read this passage, and that word precious stands out so much to us, and we thank You for it. We thank You for all that it means, and I'm sure we haven't scratched the surface of how precious this blood truly is. And we thank You, Father, that He entered back into Your presence, having shed His blood with His blood, so that He then is our Savior forever and ever and our intercessor forever and ever, even as I'm talking right now. And so, Father, we gather around Your table and we take these elements that symbolize body and blood, but in our hearts and our minds, we know and we remember what really happened for us and how that You gave Your life for us, body and blood, that we might have eternal life. That is precious to us, and we thank You for it. Now, Father, though we know we're eternally secure, we know that we cannot lose this great salvation because we've been redeemed by precious blood. Yet, Father, we know that we have sin in our lives. And we know, Father, that as hard as we try to live for You, we're fallible creatures. And so, Father, we want to come before Your table tonight confessing those sins, having them brought to our mind and our heart so that we can say to You, Father, forgive me. And Father, restore fellowship with me and help me, Father, to walk better from this day forward. So as we see what You have done for us and we remember these things, we pray, Father, that You would do that work in our hearts. That's why we're here. And we might learn, as Peter said here, to love one another with a pure heart and fervently. May we do that as a church toward one another. So bless in this time that we have at this table. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.